Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In your bulletin is an outline of the sermon, and that'll help you track with the points I want to make. And we're going to focus on the epistle reading for today, 1 John chapter 4. This could be a year's worth of sermons because of how rich this text is. But we're going to focus on this aspect in particular, where John writes, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. And by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." All right. So, you'll note that the title of this sermon is Test the Spirits. And whenever I preach on this text, you have to clarify this, that when it talks about spirits, it's talking about the Holy Spirit, not spirits like this, okay? And so I am obligated in my call documents that whenever I preach on this text, I have to tell this joke: wherever you find four Lutherans, you will always find a fifth. Thank you. I'll be here all day. Don't forget to tip your waitress. Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I was reading an article this past week about the anniversary of the creation of the word truthiness and how it's been incorporated into our culture. And if you're not familiar with that word, it was created by Late Show host Stephen Colbert while he was on his previous show, The Colbert Report. And he says that he came up with that word as a jab at the world that we live in today and the way that we approach life. So if something we want to believe in isn't true, you just add some truthiness to it and make it true to you. He says, truthiness doesn't mean talking about the real truth. It means to talk about something that seems like truth or the truth we want to exist. And he elaborated on this when he said, it used to be everyone was entitled to their own opinion, but not their own facts. That's not the case anymore. Facts don't matter. I've used that quote before in a sermon about the truth and to illustrate that. But I want to go further in the aftermath of all the time of this word being in the vernacular of the culture. And in this interview, he said this as he fleshed it out some more. He said, we're more concerned with what we want to be true rather than what is true. And that is truthiness. What I say is right. And nothing anyone else says could possibly be true. That's the culture that we live in today. That's where a lot of people stand in their approach to truth and to reality in general. We have a tendency to believe that we are the supreme of truth. And I'm not talking about what gene is your truth that you create. This is talking about the big stuff, the stuff of God, eternal life and morality and all of that stuff. And so if you follow out the big stuff that everybody is their own supreme source of truth, then guess what? We have 7.6 billion supreme sources of truth on the face of the planet. And you guys have lived in this world. You know what happens. When my truth is not the same as yours, we're going to have some problems. And so that idea falls down very quickly. It cannot work. And that's why we need to understand and appreciate and live in this text today. And what God tells us in this and in all of his word, there is such a thing as truth. It's not some random vague concept that's just floating around there in the ether. God wants us to know that there are absolutes in this world and they all begin and end with him. Because God is truth, that means something very special for those who will hear his voice and follow him. It means that we don't live in some random, meaningless void, but our lives have significance, they have purpose, and they have an eternal direction. And the fountain of truth invites us today to follow him and let him guide us down the right paths in this life and into the next. And so your first blank in your outline, there is truth in the world. And there are many messages out there that want to promote themselves as the truth. So this is what we have the Word of God for, to keep us in the right way, to keep us in the truth. And he says to us, look, let me run the show and let me prove to you how well this will work out when you follow me. And we are blessed. He says to all of us today, hey, you guys live in the 21st century. You live with the Bible being available in your hands. He says, take a look at those 66 books. And all the times people in there tried to create their own truth and reality that went against mine, and see how well that didn't work out for them. He's like, I have this. Let me guide and direct you. So we Christians need to do that out of respect for God. And also, next blanks, we shouldn't try and bend the truth to suit our needs. Because when we are connected to Christ, we are connected to the source of truth. And when we try to come up with our own version of the truth apart from him, it always falls short. Now, here's the rub. Forgive me. I got to wipe my nose off here. This is the rub with God and his truth and us being imperfect. A lot of times we don't want to listen to him, do we? If we're being honest with ourselves, a lot of times when he tells us something, we go, yeah, you know what, Lord? I think I have this situation figured out a little bit better than you do. Let me take the wheel on this one. Because we don't like his ways and his thoughts all the time. We've been talking about technology at our home and what the kids can and cannot have. And we have some rules that we hold to for our kids. And honestly, they don't really like them. We were talking to our oldest kid, Matthew, about all this and how it's going to be a while before he's allowed to have a smartphone. But we're more than happy to give him, you know, stuff to keep in contact with his friends. And he's welcome to call them on the phone, and they can talk all they want. And as we were proposing this to him, his face got super red, and he threw his head back, and he said, talk to them on the phone? That's so weird. But he doesn't like the way that we're thinking or the way that we're going through all this. Now, my wife Karen and I laughed at this interchange because as human beings, we are literally wired and created for verbal communication. I mean, that's how this works. All of history has been designed to work on verbal communication. It's only in the last few years that things have shifted. And so these younger generations are looking at this, and they don't understand how all this works. But if you've been around long enough, you know how valuable a phone conversation has been in the past. You know that this is a pretty good way of working, that email, texting, and messaging can't compare with that one-on-one dialogue. But as I thought about that scenario more, I thought, man, isn't that how we are with God and his plans and his design? They seem weird to us at times. His ideas seem like, man, why are we doing this? I don't get this. This doesn't seem to be working. But the truth of the matter is God tells us, test my word. Because it will never fall down. It will always hold up and it will always work. And so he says, when it comes to truth, listen to me. And the truth of the matter is, no pun intended, is we all have absolutes that we hold on to. And that's what's so helpful about being a Christian and following the voice of the one to whom the concept of truth answers to. That this is your next blank. Christians believe that there are truths that govern life, and they come from God. They are absolute, and they have a source. So they're beyond us. They cannot be changed by human behavior. They're true whether anyone believes them or not. And they're true whether anyone likes them or not. They're absolute because they come from an absolute God, and he is the foundation of life itself. So your next blank, the truths God has written into the creation are real, and we don't break them. They will break us if we fail to follow them. Yeah, think of some of the absolutes that we deal with all the time, right? Gravity, the laws of physics, the laws of space, the laws of time. You can't apply relative or personal truths to those things because they don't care about your opinion. You know, we got all these cherry pickers around the school right now for the rehab stuff. I can't get up into one of those, get 55 feet up in the air in the bucket, and then just say, you know what, my personal truth is that gravity doesn't apply to me. I'm just going to walk out of this bucket, step onto the air, and walk over to a roof. What is going to happen when I try that? I'm going to find out about absolutes real quickly, aren't I? Well, that's the world we live in. The truths of the universe hit everybody all the time. And so God wants us to know truth is real, it's tangible, and it's something that we need to acknowledge. It's not changed by majority opinion. So water is wet and rocks are hard and grass is green, and we can take a vote on what we disagree on or not, but the reality is that we won't change those things by our opinion. So God says truth is real, it's eternal, and you find it in my son, Jesus Christ. And this is where we get into kind of loggerheads with the Western culture that we live in. because most people don't want to believe that truth is exclusively connected to God and his son, Christ. But that is what God tells us in his word. Those who are concerned with the concept of truth know that it comes from him. It's instead in our culture of thinking that there are just these governing concepts out there that rule over everything, like peace and love and justice and truth, and that those are the ultimate source of authority. But God says to us, actually, this is your next blank, all things in the world, including peace, love, justice, and truth, answer to God. See, those things don't exist without him. And that's why he's so concerned with us believing the truth. Because when we do that, we can receive in greater ways the blessings that he wants to give us. And he wants us to have the things that we truly and eternally need. And what are those things? Love, forgiveness of sins, peace, eternal life, assurance. Those things are found in him. And so your next blanks, when the one who makes the rules says we need to stay connected to him in order to receive his blessings, then we'd better listen to him. No other God can do what he does for us. And everyone who is of the truth listens to the word of God, because that is where we find the truth. And this is where we get to the reason why this is so important, why God is so adamant about this. See, God's not in some kind of verbal debate with us on some, you know, talk radio show. He wants us to know this stuff because it's good for you and me. We are his kids. And so let's go to that next blank. What does the truth of Christ mean for us? It means he and his truth can and will change us. That's a transformation we cannot find anywhere else. It means that we know where to go for salvation, where we find comfort for the struggles of life, where we find the forgiveness of sins, where we find the model for loving our neighbor, power in our lives to live in a way that transcends the sinfulness and destruction of this world. And so next blanks, it keeps us rooted in the right foundation. It frees us from being slaves to sin. And it means a freedom that can't be found in anything or anyone else. His truth does so many things for us, and it provides guardrails for us so we don't get blown around by the winds of change and whatever dime store philosophy comes around this week. He says, I want you around forever. Follow me. Follow my guidance. See, our Lord wants a particular life for us. He doesn't want us wandering around confused about eternity or peace or joy. He just wants us to live in the freedom and the power that he has blessed us with. He wants us to use that power as we go through the struggles of this life and in this world. And so he sent his son, the truth of God, into the world to save us from our sins and reconcile us back to him. And that truth means we get to live differently than people who don't know this. That's a blessing in and of itself, a huge blessing. So like Pastor Holmes was preaching about last week, the truth of God and the activity of God is far greater than anything that we will encounter in our struggles in this world. In fact, your next blanks, regardless of what the famous movie line says, God believes we can handle the truth. He is real. He loves us. And he is bigger than any problem we will ever face. He is not a truth, he is the truth. And everything he is, he gives to all those who are in him. He loves you more than you can possibly understand. And so that's the truth of who you are through Jesus Christ. Forgiven of your sins, renewed as a new creation in him, and empowered to live new lives with his guidance and direction. That's your truth made possible by the Christ. So my prayer is that we would live in that truth. And I'd like to close with this. So my wife and I are getting ready to celebrate 13 years of marriage next month. And if I could pat myself on the back, I'm already way ahead of this, which is, you know, most guys don't get to do that and remember that so well publicly. But and I've been there before, guys. I know how that goes. But as we've been married, as we know each other so well, you guys know how this is if you are married. She knows me so well and my quirks and my habits and stuff from my past and vice versa. So it's not that often that I can actually surprise her, which is what happened the other day when I revealed to her something about my past that actually stopped her dead in her tracks. And what it was this. I told her, honey, I've never seen the movie The Karate Kid. So, yeah, I like the looks at all three services of people. Like, what? So some of the kids wanted to watch this, so we actually ended up watching it the other night. And I knew all the pop culture references from it and all that stuff. But it was really fascinating to watch, and I enjoyed watching it. But in particular, I liked one character that I thought was pretty awesome, Mr. Miyagi. And for those of you who, like me, have not seen the movie, he is this character that is training this young man who is being bullied and wants to defend himself via the method of karate. And so they go about this training regimen, and only there's no karate involved. It's all waxing cars and polishing decks and painting fences. And the kid thinks that there is never any real practice of karate going on until Mr. Miyagi, who knows exactly what is going on, reveals all of this to him at a powerful point in the movie. And that's when he realizes, oh no, I have been taught, this has been helpful, and this has helped me mature greatly. And I think that is a great example of how we are in our relationship with God. Because there's a lot of times we want to rail on him and say, God, you don't know what you're doing. This stuff is going on in my life, and I can't believe you are doing this right now. Do you have any concept of what is going on? And he says to us, way more of a concept than you have. Follow me. I know exactly how this all works out. Just follow my lead, because I am the truth and the life. And when you follow me, this all works out in a beautiful way. So your next blank, when you are faced with the temptation of the message of the world, run them through the Word of God and see how they stack up, because no other message can stack up to the truth of all things that is our God. And so you can deny the truth all you want. You can paint it however you like. You can come up with your own definition of it until you're blue in the face. But truth is the truth, and it doesn't change, because our God doesn't change. He's that reliable and sound, and you can build everything you are and will be on him. So your last blanks, you are called today by the truth of God on two legs, Jesus Christ, to listen to him, to hear him, be forgiven by him, be saved by him and changed, to live as a forgiven and restored child of God. His cross and empty tomb have made all things possible. That's your truth as a child in God, through Christ. And God bless us to live in that. Amen.